This episode of the WDub Review is sponsored by buyandselldvc.com. Hey guys, this is Scott Fraioli from buyandselldvc.com. If you're thinking about purchasing Disney Vacation Club, we highly encourage you to go onto Facebook and do a search for our Facebook group, Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC. It's the only page on Facebook that's dedicated to purchasing Disney Vacation Club through the resale market.
Hello, welcome to the WDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my regular cast today, Stacy Nyman. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Peter Ponacorvo, how are you doing?
I'm well.
Now, Pete, that was your one chance to up Stacy on it.
Yeah, it's... Why do something I know isn't true?
It's not true. All right, so... Today we've got our friends on, Scott Ferrioli and B. Thaxton, to talk about Disney Vacation Club today. So Scott, B., how are you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
Yep, doing great over here as well.
Excellent. Before we start, and we've got a cool show because we're going to cover a resort that it's, I don't know how best to describe it. It seems to be on a lot of lists that you might want to miss, but the more you research it, it like jumps to the forefront of places you really got to go and visit, because it's experiences you get here that is truly like individual. You can't find them at any other Disney Vacation Club resort. So, but before that, tell me something good in your life. Let's go with ladies first. Let's go with Southern gals first. How's that sound?
That sounds like me.
It sounds like you. Give me something good in your life, B.
I will have a 4-year birthday this month.
Okay.
Yeah, well, y'all figure that one out.
Well
she's been cancer-free for 4 years, folks. This is a rocket science. Come on now.
Excellent, B.
Woo-woo.
Wonderful.
There you go, Pete.
B, you know, we're not sure how to react other than saying that's incredibly awesome. So,
yes, for the second time.
can I ask you then on a personal note, do you approach this birthday every year with greater anticipation, or what's your mindset? Because, like, that was an awesome thing to say. How do we share in this best with you?
Every day is a celebration.
Okay.
But it's regardless. I'm just happy one day at a time.
Well, I love hearing that. It's only going to go downhill from here, because that was just an awesome moment there. So
yeah.
So,
how in the heck am I supposed to follow up?
Right, Scott, you are something really good here. All right. Scott, tell us what you got good.
I've got nothing.
Tell us what you did yesterday.
Four years cancer-free. How the heck do I beat that? I went to Hollywood Studios the other day. And I went to Brown Derby for the first time, but yay for the cancer-free. can't possibly top that, but I went to Brown Derby the other day for the first time.
Cool.
I had a nice time. I don't want to say too much about it. I was very underwhelmed by it. It always gets such good reviews and high marks on it, and it's probably one of the most disappointed I've honestly been in one of Disney's restaurants.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so hang on. Tell me the story then. So why did you decide to go?
We were just looking. Being local, you know, we were just trying to find something to do that night. It was Friday night. You know, kids were back from school. I said, all right, you know, it's relatively light crowd supposed to be. So I just went online to see what reservations they had. I saw Brown Derby pop up, which was, I'm not my top choice. Normally with the kids, we'll grab sci-fi or something like that. So I said, all right, let's try Brown Derby for the first time. I've heard very good things about the Cobb salad, and, you know, but just mostly I said, you know what, we always, you mentioned it before the show started, we get in a rut as well where we do the same stuff over and over and over again. We get comfortable with the stuff that mm-hmm. we like, and then we don't, you know, go out and be adventurous at all. So I said, you know what, let's try Brown Derby for the first time. And I was not thrilled.
Okay, why? What was the hang-up? What let you down?
My wife and I had two things. We got the Cobb salad, which, I'm sorry, Stacey. Everybody mentions how wonderful it is. I like Cobb salads. I get them a decent amount of times locally. And everybody raves about how great they are. And on a Cobb salad, truthfully, I like blue cheese dressing. And every restaurant I've ever gone to, they have blue cheese dressing. It's pretty much a staple. So I'm like, all right, let me try this Cobb salad. They don't have blue cheese. So they have ranch, or they have their special vinaigrette that they use. So I put the Cobb salad comes, I would say, minced is the best way to put it. They have it chopped so fine that the turkey, the lettuce, everything almost is like a paste. It's so thin.
Wow.
And you can tell it was prepared hours and hours in advance because it came out and everything was ice cold. So, you know, this was something that was prepared in the bowl and then stuck in the refrigerator for hours. And I thought that it was pretty much just like mush. Wasn't very good. And then I said, can I please try the special Cobb vinaigrette? Because I thought maybe I was missing out on something with the vinaigrette, and that's what everybody wanted. And I tasted that, and it was just so bitter you couldn't even eat it. And my wife, I said, all right, we'll get the Cobb salad, and we'll also get the filet mignon, because filet mignon's pretty safe. You know, we'll kind of split, you know, one expensive meal. And the Cobb salad, for Disney prices, is like $18, so it's actually a pretty good deal. So we got the filet mignon, and while the filet mignon was pretty decent, it's a $50 filet mignon, and it had just a small thing of mashed potatoes with it and some, like, radishes and Brussels sprouts, and it just was average. And the next day, just as an example, I went to Miller's Ale House, which is a local place. Mm-hmm. It's got, like, a sports bar type thing.
You went without me?
I try to, but somehow you keep finding out about these things. So I went to Miller's Ale House, and they had a $20 filet mignon. I said, let me try this. And their $20 filet mignon blew away the $50 filet mignon at Brown Derby.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little sad. But I did find out that Miller's Ale House had killer food. So
okay,
I'll take that over Brown Derby any day.
Well, let's end that story by saying, I mean, you and I are friends on Facebook, and I read your posts all the time. And you're a foodie at heart, so you love trying new experiences at, like, Disney restaurants, and you report back on them, and I always see them, like, pretty positive. So for you to give that non-endorsement, that must have been really a miserable meal that day. So
it's tough, because the filet was good. It's just when you say it's $50, you go, okay, for $50, I want it to be a nice, you know, steakhouse-type steak, and it was average, and yeah, just... I think a lot of it also is I had high expectations because I kept hearing how much everybody loves it and everybody raved about the Cobb salad. And then when I got everything, I was just pretty disappointed.
Okay. Stacy and B, you guys have been, though, to the Brown Derby, right? You guys like that place?
I do, yeah. I haven't. I bet that you might have gotten a bad Cobb salad. It doesn't sound like the experience that I had for sure. But... it definitely is minced very, very finely. And that's kind of, I think that's almost like was like a novelty to me. But I'm not really that much of a foodie. I'm very basic in my tastes. So I think that maybe you're right. Like, you know, going into it with high expectations, I kind of, at everything is kind of, you know, it surprises me and amazes me at restaurants just because I am so simple in my tastes. So my bar isn't set too high, I have to say.
Okay. B, what about you? Give me something about the Brown Derby. Besides that, Scott's drinking his salad through a straw.
Which is
pretty accurate.
They probably have one of the best burgers on property. They have a Wagyu beef burger that is phenomenal every time I've ever had it. And then they also have sliders, and you can get them all Wagyu beef, or they have pork. They come in three different sliders, or you can mix and match. But the Wagyu beef burger, you can't beat it.
Okay, so kind of a mixed review. How about the grapefruit cake? Did you try that, Scott? I know that's supposed to be their signature dessert.
We did not have any desserts.
Okay. Sorry. Walked out without paying, just stormed right out of there, said this was miserable.
gave the waiter a nasty look, kicked him in the shins, and walked out.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
It wasn't in the shin, it was in the ankle. All right, Stacy.
Exactly.
What do you got? Give me something good.
I've been doing some fun Disney planning this week with Marathon Weekend already around the corner, you know, 11 months away. with my new, brand new spankin' DBC contract that I purchased through B. Thaxton. And so I bought resale at Animal Kingdom a few months ago, and the points came through just in time for the 11-month window to open up for Marathon Weekend. So I was able to reserve a room at Animal Kingdom for the week for my husband, Scott, and I to just go as a couple and enjoy the week together. So we've been having fun booking that, and then we've also been planning for our upcoming June trip, and my brother-in-law and his family just decided to join us. So we're going to have about over 20 people coming with us in June.
Boom.
So, but we've all traveled together before. We go about every 3 years, and we really know how to travel together. So it's never been any sort of a burden. Everybody just kind of does their thing. So we do it well. You know, it's not a big problem, but it's fun booking all these big meals together and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're tweaking some of our meals and starting to think about fast passes and stuff. So we're really getting excited.
Well, we have to find out more, because just the sheer thought of taking a vacation with the entire family that many, that's like it blows my mind how to, like, logistically work out all those details. I can barely get my family of five corralled.
Well, thankfully, each group that's coming with are mega Disney fans. So we really just kind of take care of our own little group, and we just all kind of meet there. So it's not like I'm taking care of 20 people and doing all this stuff. I mean, I'm doing the meals and stuff, but it's so streamlined. Everybody's really great. So hopefully they're all listening to this podcast. I'll have to endorse it to my family. But yeah, so it's not as hard as it seems, because they're all Disney fans.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Peter, what do you got? Give me something really good.
Picked up my birthday present today, and that's about it.
I assume it was an AK-47 with a bow on it, Pete, or something along those lines?
No. It's nothing like that. It's a new carry gun, that's all.
Okay.
Pete, so when is your birthday?
My birthday was, as of this recording, 11 days ago.
Oh, yeah. I read on your wall.
Yep.
Hey, Pete, ask me. Ask me what's good.
So, Chris, what's good with you right now?
Pete, I'm going to tell you what's good. Thanks for asking. It was unexpected.
That's good.
Pete, I'm going on a cruise. You know that? We just booked a deposit, leaving December 30th for the Allure of the Seas with Royal Caribbean. I know it's a Disney podcast, but we just booked. It's the second largest cruise ship in the world, and it's one of the most decorated, so we're pretty excited about that.
I'm gonna ask you to go check out my friend Jay Griffith's Facebook page right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on right now.
He's not thrilled with his choice of cruise line at the moment.
Oh.
Okay. Uh-oh. Okay. Well, you can't please everybody. I've got a limited experience. I've been on a couple Carnival cruises, and it was nice. It was okay. But, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, we wanted to go on the Disney cruise at Christmas time. But, you know, I just couldn't pull that trigger. There's not many people who can at Christmas time. So you know, the Royal Caribbean, it seemed like a really good option, and I think it's going to suit my family well. So we've already watched YouTube videos, and we're really excited about it. So
I'm excited for you to go on that, because that's one of my bucket list things is Royal Caribbean cruise. So I'll live through you for this one, and then if it works out, maybe I'll book my own.
There you go.
I just know it took him 2 hours to get on the boat.
Oh, yeah?
Literally, he said he stood in line for 2 hours to get on the ship.
Pete, I'm kind of counting on my fame and notoriety from this podcast to expedite that process.
So you're going to be willing to stand in line for 3 hours is what you're telling
me. They won't even bring my luggage. It's left on the pier.
That's going to be in the water.
Let's recapture this show here. So I want to talk about specifically Hilton Head Island. All right? And one of us five has just recently been to Hilton Head Island. It's not you, Pete. It's not me. Stacy's been working. Scott's been at the pool. So it kind of leaves one person that's been to Hilton Head Island. So we're going to use B. Thaxton as our expert in this show. B, before you start, here's my trivia question. Why is it called Hilton Head Island?
Oh. I don't know, but I know it was started. It was discovered by the Rosner family. I don't know why it's called Hilton Head.
Well, Scott right now is chuckling to himself, thinking, "Yeah, I knew Chris would have something random to ask." So there is a reason. I had to find out why it's called Hilton Head Island. You want to know the real reason?
Yeah.
All right. This comes from Pete. Where does it come from? Where's my source?
Wikipedia.
I've only got one source, so here we go. Wikipedia. Ready? It is named after the English captain William Hilton, who in 1663 identified a headland near the entrance of Port Royal Sound, which, of course, he named it for himself. So he named it Hilton's Head after himself. So,
yeah, got it.
Probably would have done that, too.
Yeah, me too, right? Pete's Island, Chris's Island, something like that. So, B, tell me about this resort. Tell me what makes this place special.
Absolutely. Fell head over heels in love with it.
Okay.
I am a beach person. I'm a very, very much a beach person. That was my biggest... I had one big drawback, and that was that the beach wasn't at the resort. But that's later. I always thought Old Key West had the best cast members. Hands down, Hilton Head, best cast members. Most of them are local to the Low Country, and it's Southern hospitality all the way from beginning to end. We were there Sunday through Thursday, mm-hmm. and they give you a chart of what you're doing, what they have every day of activities.
Okay.
One of the things we wanted to do was the painting, and that was on Sunday, and they had already had it. And we wanted to make the sugar scrub, and that was on Thursday after we were leaving. Well, after we were like, oh, well, we'll have to look at the rest of the list and we'll get back to you. We were in our room 15 minutes and they called back and they said, we have the painting set up for you at this day at this time and the sugar scrub for you this day at this time.
Whoa. Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, you don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah. So in describing the location, you know, when I first, you know, even thought about it, I had to kind of pull up a map to figure out where it's at. So if you don't know where Hilton Head's at least according to, you know, the Google Earth map, it looks like it's almost directly in the middle of a triangle here. So Jacksonville would be the southern part, Atlanta would be the western part, and Charlotte would be the northern part. And it almost looks equidistant. It's about 100 or so miles, it looks like, from Jacksonville, and a little bit further from Atlanta, and a little bit further from Charlotte. But it's literally sitting on the Atlantic Ocean, kind of in the middle of those three big cities, right next to Savannah, Georgia, and pretty close to Charleston. So you are in the heart of the South right there.
Yeah, that's called the Low Country.
Okay. So, you know, as I researched it, it doesn't, at least at first, appear to have many amenities. So like, describe the restaurants, describe the accommodations, and what you can do there.
There's not a restaurant on property. Okay. There is the... bar, snack bar, restaurant, but there's not a, like, quick serve, but there is not a sit-down restaurant on property.
Okay.
When we were there, the bar restaurant was not even open.
Okay, so it's like an off-season situation where they won't open it during the winter months, essentially?
I guess so.
Okay.
I guess, because we were there with snow on the ground on the beach, which was phenomenal. It was great. The resort is located, okay. Do you know the history about how it got started?
No, hit me.
Okay. When Disney decided to go off property, they did Vero first. And then in the middle of that, they decided to do Hilton Head, which was in, I think, 93. Well, Hilton Head is very affluential people. And a lot of retired people, and they fought it because they didn't want the traffic. They didn't want timeshare people there. They didn't want vacationers there. They didn't want them on the island, period. So what they ended up doing, I mean, there was lawsuits that went on for quite a while.
Whoa.
The pool and the beach access and the bar and the activity center is in one place, and then 2 miles across the street is the resort.
You said 2 miles.
It's about 2 miles.
Okay.
Mile and a half, 2 miles. They run a shuttle constantly back and forth, but that was the biggest drawback. I hated that for the passion. That I didn't like it.
Yeah. You know, that was one of the nice parts about Vero Beach is when the pool area is too crowded, and Scott would verify this, you just simply just walk down the little walkway, and within, I don't know, 75 yards, you're in the Atlantic Ocean, you know? So that makes Vero Beach's location just prime. So that's the exact opposite. Okay.
It was rocky last week when I was there. The beach was. I didn't like the beach as well as South Carolina beaches. But you have a pool on each side, over at the beach side and over at the resort side. The resort was actually, when they dug out the marina at Shelter Cove, there at Broad Creek, they took the dirt from Shelter Cove, and that's what the resort is built on, from where they dug the marina out.
Okay.
Because they couldn't win the battle with the homeowners to put it over on the ocean side.
Okay. So would you say then the dining options, what are the dining options close by then? So I bring my family of five. Where am I eating? What am I doing then?
Anywhere, everywhere, you name it. Mom and pops, restaurants, chain restaurants, some of the best seafood. We had crab legs one night. We had she crab soup one afternoon. You don't want to take your family, but we did a rum tour, a wine tour, and a beer sampling. Not all on the same day.
I was going to say about an hour apart. Yeah.
A couple of them. But, I mean, there's a lot to do. We also, I think it was $25 or $30, we did right from the resort, we did a dolphin tour. And the dolphins were right beside the boat.
So when you research Hilton Head, it's like, okay, so what am I doing here? What is the attractions here? There's no theme park, obviously. And if you just pulled up any Hilton Head tourism site, like the first 10 options all deal with nature. They deal with kayaking in inlets, and they deal with, you know, wildlife and snorkeling and stuff along those lines. So I would imagine that would make sense. The dolphin tour is right there.
Well, Disney also has the kayaks to rent. They have boats to rent. They have bicycles to get around the resort, to get around the island. So it's all right there.
Okay.
And I can tell you that when I was there a couple of years ago, that almost every day they had some sort of like a beach tour. They have tour guides to give you walking tours of the different beaches and the marshlands and everything. So there's always lots of really cool stuff. And as B said, the cast members are absolutely awesome. And they really, really enjoy everything. So while it's a very laid back, you know, not adventurous place like, you know, going to Magic Kingdom or, you know, coming down to Disney World and doing Magic Kingdom in the parks, I mean, it's a very beautiful laid back resort, but there is still stuff to do. Lots of really cool things to do.
What is the actual resort? What is the accommodations? Is it shaped like? I can see from pictures, but is it shaped as in one large building, or is it spread out? Not so spread out like a Saratoga Springs, but describe the actual buildings to me.
There's, I think it's 5 or 6 buildings at least. It's a quarter of the size of Saratoga, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know how many rooms. What do you think, Scott? About a quarter of the size of Saratoga?
I mean, that sounds probably right. Things are, the different buildings are a lot closer to each other. They're all, it's all enclosed. Where Saratoga is pretty spread out, and there's bus stops all along the way. You know, if you walk out by the lobby and start walking around places, everything is kind of right there. And you know, you're walking through like old oak trees with Spanish moss hanging down, and everything is just very centrally located and beautiful.
Okay, what about in terms of rooms? Updated? And the decor. Yes. What does the decor look like inside? What's the theme?
Beachy.
Okay.
Rustic. It was, the resort was designed around a 1940s South Carolina hunting lodge.
Okay. And the lobby? What does the lobby look like?
Lobby's not much of anything. It's the room beside the lobby. It's, I can't, Muggers? It's after a fish.
Okay.
Muggers, I think. And it has a pool table and a fireplace and TVs and couches and Baloo Crab is his name, I believe. B-L-O-U-E, yep. Crab. Tell stories every day. Do you know what Hilton Head has that no other resort has?
A dog.
Yes.
I knew this. I knew this is a dog guy. Yes. Tell us a story.
As they were building and digging out the dirt to build for the inlet to build the resort, there was a golden retriever puppy that was always under their feet, and they called it Shadow. And they've always had one. They keep a golden retriever on property.
That's really pretty cool. So you mentioned to us that the service is something special, and I imagine when you don't have the natural attractions, natural is the wrong word, but you don't have the attractions of the parks and Disney Springs, that you have to excel in other areas. Would you think that's the motivation, or is there something about just being in, you know, the southern charm of the resort?
It's both.
You really? Give me a description. Tell me besides that, what else? What else really surprised you with the service? Was it check-in? Was it bellhop? What really blew you away?
Everybody on property knew my name.
Well, you're pretty famous, B. Let's be honest.
No, I mean, seriously. When you check in and you start talking to people, if you talk to them once, they'll remember your name. My daughter found one of the lifeguards danced at the same dance studio that she did about 4 years behind her, and they knew a lot of the same people.
This was like a bizarre family reunion in a way, wasn't it, then, talking to her?
Yeah, it was. Kind of crazy.
It was, and there were two other people from where she, in the area where she grew up in North Carolina. There were three of them there working. I mean, it's just, they remember your names. They stop and they talk to you. I don't know if it was because they weren't busy, but I've read some other reviews where one lady said that every cast member knew her children by name.
Wow.
And called them by name.
Were they well-behaved children, or were they constantly getting yelled at?
I don't know.
I mean, that you could be known, but not necessarily for a good reason.
And, I mean, that is really a huge thing, though. I mean, I know that when we were staying at Animal Kingdom Kidani a couple summers ago, and we went to the community hall a few times, the cast members there learned our kids' names, and it made it so special. The kids thought that that was the coolest thing, that they wanted to keep on going back to, you know, have that attention. And so that's huge customer service. That's really great.
I'll agree with that. With Kidani, I've seen it too. That's one of the other resorts that does that. There's one of the girls at the check-in desk that knows me when I walk in the door.
So B, you said it wasn't very busy. Give me a percentage. What would you say the percentage was of the resort being full?
I had a wait list.
Okay, but then you said it wasn't busy.
Full.
Wow, so it still was full.
And I couldn't get a studio. I had to end up getting a resort, or a one-bedroom.
Wow.
I felt the same way. We went more towards a peak time. It was sometime in the summer. I don't remember exactly when. And it was completely sold out, but a lot of times it's not crowded. It doesn't have a crowded feel at all. It's I don't know what it is. It's spread out. It's a campy feel to it. And it's more like old hometown. Everybody, they learn your names, as B said, and they know you. And every couple of days they do a campfire with a sing-along, and all the people there were calling out the kids. They knew the names. By day three, the kids all knew the songs for the campfire.
Yep.
It's like a little community. The best way I can picture it is saying that it's kind of like a hometown, like a campsite, but where everybody gets to know each other, but you're staying in deluxe accommodations. You know, you're not staying in a camper. You're staying in, as Chris knows, the largest DVC studios on Disney property.
Yeah.
From the first episode we did, as you grilled us on that one, but it's really a different place. It's a really different experience there.
Okay, so that was going to be one of my questions was, everyone's who's listening is I shouldn't speak for everybody, but they're used to going to the parks. And what's the draw here? Tell me, convince me that like my family of five with three kids wouldn't be bored. Tell me what the attraction to go there is then besides the beach.
With your family, this is the place to do it. Not standing in line, not waiting to meet a character, not trying to go get a drink, not waiting on food, not having to worry about getting a reservation. This is a family place. This is where you go to rest, relax, and spend time with your family.
Wow. Stacy, you wanted to go here, didn't you?
I want to go there so bad. And I'm, as you're talking just now, I'm in my head thinking, okay, when can I do this? What year am I going to be able to make this thing happen? Do you know about kids programming there, B? Is it like
the
cruise line, for example? Like, do you leave your kids in these programs, or is it family?
I don't think you leave your kids. I don't think they have the on-site camp. But every couple of hours, there's something going on. You make Disney pillows. You do a painting. You paint a seashell. You take a turtle walk. You look for dolphins. I mean, there's always something going on.
Okay, so I'm going to read directly from the Disney Vacation Club site. So, Stacy, it doesn't look like there's a kids club, but it says enjoy a variety of games and nature activities and a chance to make new friends for ages 3 to 17. It doesn't say there's a kids club, but these are the features they offer. These are the amenities. The beach, obviously, relaxed to the South Carolina shore with access to 12 miles of white sandy beach. The campfire, the community hall, the beach house, which is located down by the beach where they have video games and whatnot. DVDs, golf, and you probably, if you're a sports fan, you would recognize Harbortown as the giant red and white painted lighthouse. It's a famous tournament. Live Oak Lodge, and the word you're looking for, B, is Big Murgy's Den. Is that it?
There you go.
Big Murgy's Den. There's two pools. You can rent bikes, play tennis, the fitness center. So it is, I guess it's designed to be a little lower key, a little more relaxing, and kind of get with your family and not have to wait for 3 hours for Flight of Passage if you're looking for the opposite style of vacation, which, truthfully, that's actually a really nice change of pace, because Walt Disney World, as you all know, can just be a backbreaker. It could be go, 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 go. So this is the exact opposite.
Chris, you missed a couple of things, too.
Hit me.
There is fishing and crabbing.
Okay.
Like, you can literally go and catch crabs.
Yep.
Really, Pete?
There's really, the Pete? Kids' night. Yeah. I'm just flossing on that because I knew you were going to go there.
Sorry.
The kids' night in, which is 3 hours supervised childcare.
Okay.
So, Stacy, there you go. You get 3 hours to drop the kids off for ages 5 to 12. I am going to butcher this. Goitaku, which is the ancient Japanese art of fish rubbing. I'm not even going to go there either. this will enthrall your child, and they'll get to take home a unique painted t-shirt for ages 5 and up. Mickey tie-dye, 8 and up, they'll make a tie-dye t-shirt. The teenagers can go kayaking.
Okay.
And there is actually bingo every day as well.
Hey, Stacy.
I played the Disney bingo.
Stacy, it's Scott. That 3 hour supervised childcare is a lot better than our method, where we just literally stay in the room and say, "Hey, don't go anywhere for a couple hours. I'll be back." Right? Don't move. Okay. So, Scott, when you went, how old were your kids?
When I went, my children were probably two and five or 3 and 6.
Okay. And what was the coolest part of the trip to them? What do they remember?
Coolest part was probably doing the nature walks, because you could do it. They had it around the resort, and then there was also one where they took you on a bus about maybe 20 minutes away down to a special beach that they go to, where they show you where, like, they were trying to find shark teeth, and they were showing you all different types of creatures living in there. And I think that they might have had some sea turtle eggs and stuff like that. But my oldest son is really into nature stuff, so I mean, he absolutely ate that stuff up. And I'm sure, honestly, if you ask them, they probably also enjoyed the campfire at nights, and the playing foosball.
Okay.
B. I like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but my daughter kept cheating.
That was going to ask you, B. What is ugly. Your favorite memory, B, of the trip?
Just relaxing and spending time with my daughter.
Okay.
Honestly.
That's a great answer. And you guys had some awesome pictures.
Yeah, no schedule. We just wing it. No fast passes. No dinner reservations.
That's the thing. Like, there's no schedule. That's the part that really appeals to me is I don't have to worry about I've got to be here at 6:45 and I've got to be over here at 9 o'clock. There is nothing. It's like decompression vacation, which in terms of Disney, it's kind of a rare word because most of the time it's pile all you can for that week.
Complete polar opposites.
Yeah. I've got two questions here. When you guys are ready, I had two questions. I actually have about five, but these two are specific. So if you don't mind that, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I apologize.
Good. I was going to say the events that they do are not expensive. The making the sugar scrub, I think, was $8. And doing the painting was $5 or $7. And some of the stuff is free.
How much is the fish rubbing? How much does that cost nowadays?
Sorry, I missed that one.
I didn't rub any fish when I was there, so I can't vouch for it either.
Right. I'm wondering if the fish are stressed or what's, right? what's going on.
Their muscles are tight. All right, so here's the first question. And this is from Vicky Marie. And she just bought more Disney Vacation Club points. Right,
Bea? Two more contracts.
Oh, man. She is officially hooked, isn't she?
She is hook, line, and sinker. We can rub the fish.
Yeah, there you go. All right, she has to wear two monocles.
Right?
There you go.
How close is it to Orlando? Is it drivable for us Brits who think driving more than a couple hours is a really long way?
It's a really long way.
From my house, it was right at a five and a half hour drive from Scott. Scott is over on the other side of Disney, and it's probably four and a half to 5 hours.
Yeah, by the look on the map, it is a destination unto itself, unless you're planning on visiting Charleston or Savannah. It's not really a trip. We went to Vero Beach, and Vero is about a two-hour ride, and that's manageable for the day, but this is not. This has to be kind of the isolated destination, or as you're passing through if you're coming from the Eastern Seaboard.
Right.
Tyler Lee, excluding the months of December through March, are there months that are easier to book at the 7-month booking window? Also, do we assume that the studios and two bedrooms are the first to go at this resort as well?
I would say probably. I don't see where it's any different than any other Disney resort.
Yeah,
I would think they would go first because I waitlisted the first week in January. So,
what about the months? Excluding the months of December through March, are there months that are easier to book at the 7-month booking window?
I don't even. December through March isn't even easy.
Oh, boy.
I waitlisted for January.
That's true.
I would say probably September, besides the ones that I already mentioned, maybe September, October, November a little bit. Anytime during the summer, really, really hard to get. So, as kids go back to school.
Yeah, September and October, you're going to have golfers.
Yeah, less beachy weather is probably a little bit easier, but I wouldn't think it'd be that much.
You mentioned to me snow be on the beach, and that was unique. Why is that? Do they not get snow down there? Is that a rarity?
Oh, that's a rarity. I lived in South Carolina for several years and lived in Myrtle Beach, and I think we had snow once, and it's everybody goes nuts. It's crazy.
Wow. I imagine that half inch of snow or inch of snow must cause you guys traffic delays because you don't have any equipment or salt or anything to get through there, right?
Mm-hmm. An inch of snow, we're still out golfing.
I'm serious. I saw a picture that was a Mini Coupe and had a snow plow on it, and had SCDOT.
Wow.
South Carolina Department of Transportation on a Mini Coupe.
All right, Scott, so let's talk about it from your end. So let's talk about it from the resale side. Tell me about Hilton Head. What do I need to know about this? If someone wanted to buy it, when does it expire? What is a contract running for? And talk about the dues, please.
All right. All Hilton Head contracts expire in 2042.
Mm-hmm.
As for price wise, B, what did you say? They're probably heading around. I will say prices have
60s.
Stopped recently. Yeah, I'd say maybe mid-60s, I'm trying to say. Yeah, probably around the mid-60s range or so. And annual dues I'm pulling up right now because I don't have every single resort memorized.
So the price annual is low, but the dues, mm-hmm. I think, are the opposite,
yes.
Correct?
It's $7.72 per point for annual dues. So it's one of the most expensive ones.
Okay, why would that be?
Because it's a beach property. It takes more to maintain.
Weather.
Does weather have a factor? That's what I would think too, Pete, right? When those hurricanes would come rolling in.
Yes.
And so you pay for that repair. You pay for that upkeep because the ocean takes it away pretty quickly on you.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, three of beach properties, Vero, Alani, and Hilton, have the three highest dues, I believe.
Okay. Yeah,
that is correct.
So when you're looking for a resale to purchase, like that purchase price, that's one factor, but you got to look at. So let's see, this is 2018. You still got 25 more years to pay in the assessment. So it's not so important to find that $65 buy-in price, but to realize you're paying this assessment every year for how many points you have, correct?
Correct.
But
yeah,
if you wanted to stay down there, if this was the place that you absolutely wanted, it still represents a really good deal.
Oh, yeah. If you know that you want to go down to Hilton Head, I mean, you really need to own there. Again, while, as you said, while the annual dues are high, the buy-in's lower. So if you want to use it for Walt Disney World, that's probably not your best buy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know that you and your family want to go down to Hilton Head every year, every other year, it's definitely mandatory that you get there so you get the 11-month booking window.
I was just going to say, that's imperative. Look at B. She was stuck in a wait list, and she had to upgrade to a higher-priced room.
Honestly, my daughter was staying in South Carolina, which she's in South Carolina now, but is moving to California. I would buy a Hilton Head contract.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was a wait list in January for a one bedroom. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much like the lowest time and the least desired room that you would want, kind of. And she still had to wait list it. So Hilton Head is hard to get if you don't own there.
Wow. What about give me one more question. I'm sorry, Stacy and Pete, if I'm hogging you. What about the pool? Is the pool heated?
Yes. It's a Disney pool. All Disney pools are heated.
I'd hope so.
Yeah, I was wondering because I saw the pictures and the pool was full go at it. I didn't see a lot of swimmers, but when you said snow, I thought it better be heated.
Yeah. There's a pool on the beach side and there's a pool on the resort side.
As far as all Disney pools being heated, when I was down in October, that poly pool was a little chilly. I don't know if they had quite had to turn that heater on yet.
Oh, Mr. Northerner golfs in the snow but gets chilly at the pool.
Yeah. I had on shorts and nothing else. When I'm out golfing, I got on long pants and a coat.
All right.
I'm dumb. I'm not stupid.
There it goes. That's a quote. I love it. All right, so let's wrap this up then with Hilton Head. So give me, you know, B, you've probably heard with that three words show before. Give me three words that best describe Hilton Head for you. Scott, you're next.
Oh, gosh.
Give you a heads up.
Call me.
Shit.
Yeah. Give me.
Relaxing.
Okay.
Oh.
Enjoyable.
Homey, relaxing, enjoyable. Okay, Scott?
She stole all the good words.
And that's also going to be her rap name, too, just so you know.
Nice.
All right.
True Southern hospitality.
There you go. I mean, my first thought was relaxing as well, because really that is the main thing about it, is relaxing. I'd also say quaint and, she used homey, different. I'll just say different because it is just such a complete opposite over what you're used to with Walt Disney World. I mean, it's, again, as I said, complete opposite side of the spectrum. So, I mean, it's, if you're looking for, you know, super exciting adventure, probably not the place to go. If you're looking for somewhere where you're just going to relax and just let all your tension melt away, this is a great place.
Okay.
I went to Vero last week, and even comparing Hilton Head and Vero, Hilton Head is way more relaxing. Scott?
You both? Hilton Head, I agree. Hilton Head is more relaxing. I really enjoy Vero Beach, though, because it's right on the water and ocean views from a lot of the rooms. I mean, Vero is awesome as well. And I will point out something really cool for both resorts, and I'll say this especially for Hilton Head. They both put out cookies and drinks every day, and the cookies at Hilton Head were awesome.
Yes,
Vero Beach cookies are what's the name of the company? Archway Cookies.
Okay.
That they sell in the grocery store. They make homemade cookies every single day at Hilton Head, and they were
also
awesome.
They give you a goodie bag when you leave.
Yes.
Why am I imagining Scott right now with pockets full of cookies walking around?
Oh, you bet.
Stuffing his pockets full of these cookies.
Move along, please. Nothing to see here.
I'm sitting there with tinfoil lining the inside of my shorts. Same thing with my kids going, get the cookies in there.
Yeah. I thought we had a full tray.
Put them in your purse. Just put them in your purse. Yeah,
exactly. That's why his wife carries that big bag.
All right, so I want to jump subjects here just before we go here. I want to talk about one more thing, and that's really with you, Scott, because the DVC-rental. So, Pete, Stacy, you probably know this because we talked about it. I just recently sold some points through Scott, or rented some points through Scott, and I hadn't done it before. It was the first time I had done that process. We banked some points from last year, so honestly, I didn't have a vacation planned this year to Walt Disney World as of yet. And I thought it'd be a good opportunity to go through that process. So, Scott, remind me again the rental process. I can give you my perspective, but what would a DVC owner do if you had points and you wanted to rent them?
You would just go on our website, dvc-rental.com, and we have a little button on there that says Rent My DVC Points. Mm-hmm. You would just submit a form to us. There are two forms that we need to send you and have you fill out. Once you fill those out and send those back to us, we then find a family that's looking to book a room, and we just contact you, the DVC member. When we have somebody who's ready to book it, you book it in their names for them, and essentially that's it. We pay you 75% upfront, 25% when the family checks in, and you, as a DVC member, you typically get around double what your maintenance fees are. So whenever you're not able to go, or you're thinking of going to a different option, or, you know, stuff comes up in life, you know, if you're getting double or more of your maintenance fees back, you know, it's a nice way to get to recoup some of your money. Mm-hmm. Or use it for a cruise. You know, if somebody's thinking of taking a cruise, we'll just say later on in the year, Mr. Chris.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's a good way to get some of that money back and use it for whatever you'd like to do that year.
You know, okay, so here was a situation. So I've heard you say this a bunch of times. I talked it over with my wife, and I said, let's go through the process. I contacted you, and it's true. Hey, fill out what resort, how many points you want to sell, send it back to me, and literally the points go in a queue, and they just wait until that reservation comes up. And it was just a matter of you notifying me by text, make this reservation, please. Here's the details. I called up. I actually didn't do it online. I was a little nervous doing it online, and I wanted to speak to a person, and they couldn't have been more helpful. They simply asked me the dates, the names of the party, and the reservation was made. I got the confirmation, and then I sent you a copy, which you probably didn't even need to have, because they got a copy. The booking party got a copy as well, and that was it. It was done. It couldn't have been an easier process. So it sounds like an ad for you. It's not. I literally went through the entire process. It was 100, and I don't even remember the exact total points now. But honestly, it was as simple as can be. So I couldn't recommend how easy it was, and we've already been paid. Scott paid me 75% and a box of ho-hos, so I'm still waiting for the box of ho-hos.
That's weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't know why, but it was okay. So, but
that was part of the deal he wanted. I wasn't sure why he wanted ho-hos, but he negotiated very well, and he got ho-hos.
Ding-dongs are way better than ho-hos.
All right, so, but I just wanted to say, so on the rental side, if you wanted to rent points, it'd be the exact same thing. You go through, you look, or you find what accommodations you want. How do you rent the points, Scott? Give me the Cliff Notes version of that.
Sure. Again, go to the website, and we have a button. There's lots of buttons on the website. It's all so nice and easy. Reservation request. I didn't want to give the wrong thing. Like, what does the exact button say?
You go under the renters, and then it's the reservation request.
Well, you can go under renters, or there's actually a little button on there that says check availability. ability, and it has a little picture of a guy sleeping in a bed.
You just
put in your dates and what you're looking for, and then that sends us an email, and then we check availability for you. And once you find something that you want, there's just send us the names, address, phone number, you know, all the stuff Disney needs for the room. There's a small deposit which goes towards the total for the room. And then we just find a DVC member like Chris to go out, and he books it for you. We send you all the information. You're able to link everything up on My Disney Experience, and everything is as you're accustomed to with booking directly through Disney.
Yeah.
So you still go through fast passes and everything. It's very, very simple.
I was doing the math on the one that I rented, and I was just doing the comparison, and I was even telling my wife afterwards, with what they spent on a point, or the actual points, in terms of the accommodations they're getting, that would like be a moderate, and they're going to end up staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge for the price of a moderate. So if you don't mind doing this process and not booking through a Walt Disney World Resort and going through the rental process, your accommodations are way better. They're way nicer. You get deluxe for the price of moderate here.
Yep. I mean, it's a great process because, truthfully, as you know, there's three different people who are involved. You know, in this scenario, you know, Chris is happy because he got twice or more than twice his maintenance fees back for points he wasn't going to use. So he's happy. The renter saves typically around 40 or 50% off of Disney's prices for the identical room, or you could say, yeah, they upgrade from a moderate to a deluxe for the same price. And obviously, as a business in the middle, you know, we make some money. So, I mean, truthfully, it's one of those transactions where there's three people involved and everybody's happy. You know, nobody's unhappy at the end. Everybody is thrilled with the way everything works out. So it really works out well for everybody. It's wonderful.
Hey, Pete, Stacy, I actually told Scott, you know, and I have 298 points, so I'm still relatively small in terms of DVC points, but I almost consider buying more points, just the ability to go and use them flexibly every year and possibly rent them as an option. It's something I hadn't considered before, and I am now. So interesting.
Yep.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap this guy up. Scott B, if people wanted to contact you, give me the easiest way to contact you and the best way to contact you, please.
For me, you can send me a PM, you can send me an email at buyandselldvc@gmail.com.
Okay.
My phone number is on there, my email is on there, on our website. Website is buyandselldvc.com.
Okay.
Yep. I'm always on Facebook under Scott Ferrioli, and you're always welcome to email me at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at dvc-rental.com, and don't forget that dash in there, please.
Peter, Stacy, how can they contact us?
The WW Review Facebook page.
Yeah. Passenger Pigeon, Smoke Signal.
Morse code with a flashlight if you're close enough.
If you're close enough.
Please don't be close enough to use flashlights.
Yeah, that is a little creepy.
If you're comfortable you want to send Scott and B a message too, if you need to send through us too, you know, the same Scott and B respond to like almost every question, even in their Facebook group. They respond quickly. So that was one of the reasons why we love talking to those guys so much is they're accessible and they answer questions all day long. And as nice as they sound today, that's who they are in real life. Well, maybe not Scott so much, but
Stacey, Stacey, how was your experience buying? We know what Chris's experience was renting. How was yours buying?
It was so easy and fast. It was honestly shocking. I filled out the form driving to church one morning, and I think that I got an email back before we had even gotten to church and saying that it was sold, basically. It was super, super easy. And then the paperwork came and everything. And from that point, my husband took over. I kind of lost interest and he took the rest of the process over. But so fast, so easy. Right of first refusal went a lot faster than we expected also. And like I said, it was just perfect timing for what we needed. As soon as the 11-month window opened, that's when we had the points in the account. So it was just, I mean, I couldn't have imagined it being a smoother process.
Please just tell me your husband was driving while you filled out the form.
Oh, I mean, it's, well, you know, multitasking. Really?
Multitasking, Pete. Multitasking
course,
nowadays.
Of course he was driving. You're, I was in the passenger seat.
One of the people I cuss at on my way home from
work. No, for real. I never do that.
Hey, Pete, I'd have been more impressed if she said I filled it out while at church.
DVC forms? Come on.
She could have been sitting in church filling it out.
I would have been more okay with that. I'd have been more okay with her sitting in church doing it than driving
to church doing it. I was a passenger, Pete.
All right.
I hope so.
When you look over and say, officer, but I'm trying to get more DVC points.
Exactly.
Do you
understand?
This is an emergency, officer.
Let me know how that goes over in District 15.
All right, so let's wrap this up. For my friends Peter, for my friend Stacy, for my friend B, and for my friend Scott, thank you for joining us, and have a great day.
See you guys.
Bye, everybody. Bye.